Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Book Cheat, the book club podcast where I've read the book so you don't have to. My name is Dave Warnicke, and on each episode of this show, we look at one of the classics. And joining me to look at such a classic, it's Beck Petratus and Nick Mason.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh no, I've gone cocky off the top.
Now you have to commit to
yes,
it.
I'm afraid.
Hey everyone, how you going? I don't think it is Cockney, actually. I'm not sure where I'm from.
They've just invented a printing press. We're going to read one of these newfangled books.
Oh, God, blimey.
I'm going to read a book. Oh, look, in my book, I kept a kipper. Would you like a kipper out of my book?
Is your bookmark a kipper?
My bookmark's a kipper. It's pretty flat.
Now, Beck, my ancestors were English, so this is... I'm offended, and as a white Anglo-Saxon man, I think I am entitled to be offended.
Well, you're not, because I am not from England. I think that's clear. Oh, something weird has just happened, okay. And I think I'm from Australia.
You're from Australia? Okay.
I think I'm from Australia, but I just this is just the voice I have chosen to have.
Guys, let me tell you this. We're back. The Dream Team.
I was going to say
the book
that.
Cheats.
Here we are.
The real Dream Team.
Yeah.
Because we did this remotely. Some time ago. We did two episodes.
But also, did we do something before this? I feel like we've been together. You keep teaming us up and you know.
We were in a family band.
On the road together.
Yeah, on the road in a big VW bus. Yeah.
Yes.
I was on drums.
I was also on drums, and Beck was on drums.
I was on drums.
But the drum family band.
Just real loud, just coming into town. Bang, bang, bang. Here they come.
A lot of broom. Shh.
Bang down the hatches. Close your doors. Pretend not to be home, because they will door knock and they will do a triple drum solo on you.
Yeah.
We will keep playing until you pay us to stop.
Yeah, we come at Christmas time, like Christmas carolers, but we just make a lot of noise.
But the setup takes about 30 minutes.
Yes.
Do you see us just slowly assembling the drum kit on your lawn?
Yeah, I'm
please
seeing
don't.
They're tuning the drums too, just with the little screws going bong, and then just slowly twisting. Bong. Da-da-da-da. Got to make sure the wood blocks are the right, whatever the wood blocks do.
Oh, yeah. Watch out for those wood blocks.
Clunk. Clunk. You got to make sure that's the right clunk.
So, no, it is great to be back. With the. Yeah. I mean, I think the last classic we covered was To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's true.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we nailed it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say it.
Scout was there.
And
somebody was dressed as meat. I think it might have been Scout.
Scout was dressed as a giant ham.
Yeah.
There was a tree.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting too, actually, because it is maybe nearly a year ago since we did that, try and book cheat revisited.
Yeah.
How much of my retelling do you actually retain?
Okay.
You've got a bit there. We've got Scout, we've got Ham, and we have a tree. I mean,
it turned out the Mockingbird wasn't as bad as we all assumed, you know?
Yes.
He was a pretty nice guy, I think.
Yeah, we shouldn't have killed him.
And then
place.
He died.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Spoiler there.
Well, actually, that is a spoiler. I was going to say, the title suggests that maybe it will tell you how to kill one.
Mm. But it's not an instructional.
It's not instructional.
Yeah.
You actually don't find out. It's not like a recipe.
Yeah, to kill a mockingbird, I'm listening.
You sort of just clock it, you go... It doesn't take much to kill a mockingbird,
clock it
really.
Like a woodblock, you know? Yeah. Just one.
We all speak in drum here.
Yeah,
you
that's
get
right.
It.
Very, very rhythmic trio.
Yes.
So have you been reading anything since I've last podcast
with
you? Oh,
boy, have I.
Yes.
I read backs of Dr. Pepper cans. I was like, what's in you?
And the answer is?
Mostly corn syrup.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad.
No, it's fine, I think. It's healthy. I mean, it's a doctor.
What are you guys in the pocket of big corn syrup? What's going on here? Yeah. I hear it's nothing but bad for you.
I love sipping sweet
about?
Corn syrup.
It's beautiful. How dare you?
Okay, you guys... Hey, you guys send me that email address for corn syrup. You're going to send it to me so I can...
Well, you just said it's bad, so I don't know if I
true.
Can. Whereas
I edit this out and then...
Anyway, thank you to Jeff from Big Corn Syrup.
He's a big listener to the show.
Yeah.
Appreciate you bankrolling this one, Jeff. Mace, have you been reading any cans?
I've not been reading any cans, but I did read a book this time around. There's a writer named Sinead Stubbins, and she wrote a book called In My Defense, I Have No Defense. And it's not fiction, but it's like a series of essays about trying and failing to be cool, sort of in growing up, and sort of a series of vignettes. She's a pedestrian writer, I think, pedestrian.tv.
I feel like I know the cover. Is the cover like kind of glitchy on the front?
It is very glitchy, It was recommended by a few people on Instagram, and I'm like, seems like you're all part of some sort of concerted campaign to get me to read this. I wonder if it's actually going to be any good, but I got it. Hmm. I went to the Hill of Content. You guys know the Hill of Content?
Oh, yes.
I was passing by the Hill of Content, and I'm like, oh, get that book. And I read that book, and it's very good. It's very funny. I like it.
Did you go to the Nando's afterwards?
No.
There's a Nando's
across
the Hill of Content. Get out of here. You missed out on the Nando's. That's why I go to Hill of Content. I'm like, ooh, the Hill of Content. Do you mean the place I go to when I go to Nando's?
Yeah, they're a brief distraction before the Nando's.
Yeah.
But so, Macy, you're saying that these influences that influenced you were correct.
Mm. It absolutely worked.
And it's a good read.
It's a good read, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great to hear it.
And I read comic books also.
Yeah.
And I watch the telly.
Do you put subtitles on and have a read?
I do actually put the subtitles on a lot of the time, yeah.
Yeah, I will have a shower, and then I'll get out of the shower, and then I'll put the subtitles on while I'm drying my hair.
Oh, okay, because with the blow dryer.
On my phone, I'll put on usually YouTube, Trixie and Cartier. They don't need help. Me just going, have you heard of drag queens? They're pretty funny. I'll put that on, and then I'll put the captions on, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have been reading.
I have been reading. I've been reading a lot of captions while the noise of is in my ears. So. That was a pretty good hairdryer. Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
He hesitated there.
Can I just say
that was a great hairdryer?
My hesitation was I thought you were giving a genuine review of your own hairdryer. You're like, that's a pretty good hairdryer. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it is. Your hair looks great.
No.
And then I realized you're talking about the sound.
Which was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
You're a regular Michael Winslow.
Yeah, go again. Wow, that's really good.
Thank you.
Almost
so
as good as your own hairdryer, which I also hear is quite a good one.
Amazing. I didn't just buy it because it was
Becca,
pink.
I turned away for a moment. When are you going to do your impression of the hairdryer and not just, I guess, use a hairdryer in the studio?
Just fire one under the table.
Oh, God. Oh, you guys. Thank you so much.
You're very talented, Beck.
Yes. Thank you, drum team. Keeping me together. Keeping me in rhythm with myself.
That's right.
The rhythm of my heart. Beaten away. I'll keep talking until you say something.
Well, shall we talk about a book?
Sure.
Okay.
Or,
I guess,
probably more appropriately, more accurately, a play.
Play cheat.
It's play cheat. Last week I did opera cheat.
I saw that. Yeah.
So,
did you sing?
There were a few bad impressions on the episode. Yes,
as
you can imagine. I played a little bit because it was out of copyright. I played a bit of the music.
Cool.
And then a bunch of people told me, so it was La Boheme, the Puccini, it's an Italian opera. A bunch of people have pointed out that I did not realise, and I had no idea, that the musical Rent is based on La Boheme. And a bunch of people said, surprised you didn't mention that. And in my defence, I detest all musicals. So that is my defence.
That's a good defence.
So I'm so sorry I didn't realise everyone. I genuinely felt like a fool. I'm talking upwards of 10 people have pointed out to me. I'm like, oh, no, I didn't know.
Well, let me tell you, your distaste for musicals was palpable on the episode. I just came off it in waves. I'm like, ooh.
But how do you feel about the theatre?
Oh, I love the theatre.
Oh, you love the theatre. Oh, yes. I love getting Maltesers, rolling them down the aisles. That's all I know about the theatre. What snack foods to eat? In fact, last few times I've been to the theatre, I've got Slurpees for some reason.
What?
How do you smuggle a Slurpee into
No.
They're
not as good as a Slurpee. Let me be real here.
Okay.
These are more like sort of a shaved ice.
Yeah, like a slush.
But like, are you allowed to take it in? Surely you can't slurp in the aisles.
Yeah, they let you slurp. And they
just
give
roll it down the aisle. Yeah, roll it down the aisle.
They fill it back up, roll it back up.
That would actually be very appropriate in Frozen. Because people would go like, oh, look at all the snow that's in the aisle, but it's just people rolling slurps.
just jumping a slurp.
Slush. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just all slush. I think last time I went to the theatre, I had a slurp.
Ooh.
I might have had a slurp when I went to Hamilton as well. Wow. I don't know why I'm saying a slurp.
I like it.
I'm just shortened Slurpee.
It's catching on. It's catching on.
I had a slurp.
Guys, after this, let's get a slurp.
Do you want to get a slurp?
Can I take you back a few hundred years with this one? Because we are talking about a Shakespeare.
Nice.
Shakespeare.
Now, I haven't done one of these in nearly a year. I was burning through the famous Shakespeares.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And we come to a comedy. A Midsummer Night's Dream.
I'm laughing already.
You laughing?
Yeah, I'm laughing.
Which part? The midsummer?
Night. Can you imagine the concept of night? Think about it. What's right now? We're day. We're recording the daytime. Can you imagine the night? You can't imagine it.
When's that?
Good stuff. No.
What happened?
But can I ask you when it's most appropriate to eat a slurp? Midsummer.
That's very true.
Cool you down.
Yeah. I don't know. I love a cold slurp during the cold.
Oh, a cold slurp for a coldie.
Just really pile on. Just get all frosty.
Now, do you know, either of you know much about this play?
I've seen it in the park.
Fantastic.
Ooh, yeah, I saw it in the Botanic Gardens one time.
Is this a what? How recently?
Like 15 years ago.
Oh, fantastic. Oh. So I'm sure you remember every character.
Now we said this pre-podcast. That's right. We have a life before the podcast and sometimes afterwards. But Dave, you said something. And then I said, I don't know what you said, Dave. But then I said, I should just never admit to having read or seen anything because I don't know the first thing. I've forgotten it all.
Oh, you were asking how often it comes up that I reveal the book and the guests go, oh, yeah, of course I know that really well.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I've seen it and I don't remember it at all.
Oh, fantastic.
There was some prancing about.
Mm. Oh, yes. There's a lot of prancing.
Some people probably used the space. They probably came out in the crowd and they were like, you, sir. I don't want to be like me. Oh, please get away from me. No interaction. Thank you. I don't like this. No. I hate it. No, I'm screaming. I'm screaming in the park. Murder. No. Police. Not like this.
I love this play. This sounds great.
Yeah.
Because there is a section where one of the characters asks the audience, and what do you do?
Yeah.
And they scream?
Yeah.
That's cool.
If you look at the script.
Is there a character named Puck?
Yes, there is.
There is a Puck.
There's a Puck.
He's a fairy of some sort.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I thought.
It's quite magical, this one. And it is set mostly in a forest. Mm. So it's very commonly done as a Shakespeare in the Park type production. Beck, do you know much about it?
No.
Just Beck say there's a guy named Puck. So there's a guy named Puck?
There's a guy named Puck.
You know it all.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here with a couple of Shakespearean experts.
Is Midsummer spelt wrong?
That depends how you want to spell Midsummer.
I think it's spelt regular. Not that I'm an expert or anything, but I think it's spelled.
I don't know. Is it S-O-M-M-E-R? This is not important.
It is not. It's a U.
Oh,
I've just been spelling it wrong. I've been spelling it a cool way.
You were saying mod summer or midsummer?
Midsummer. I feel like I know so
movie.
Little about this that I don't even know how to spell words.
There's a horror movie called Midsummer, which I think maybe you might
be thinking of.
You might be thinking of that. That's also set out of doors. With a flowery headpiece.
Oh.
So that's probably what you're thinking of.
Do you have people come on the pod regularly and go like, you're like, have you read this book? And it's like, I don't know what words are.
Yeah. Do I spell it wrong?
Somebody just comes in and they're like, Dave, I can't read. Thank you for bringing it up.
How dare
you? Are so welcome. I can't listen to your horrible voice, Dave. I say, okay. Looking at the spell, because I was panicking then that I was spelling it wrong and by spelling it right.
Mm.
And just Googling it, it's coming up at the Art Centre in October. So maybe the three of us could go on a lovely afternoon out.
What we could do, we could go there, we could get some tickets, and then we could say all the lines just slightly before they say them.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be real cool. Or sing along, but like with lines.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can you do that at the same time? Lip sync, but say the noise.
Yeah, nice.
What
talk?
Is that? Talk. I think I'm talking about talking.
Yeah, you're talking about talking.
Yeah, cool. I know things.
Now, people suggest these plays and books, and I'd like to give a thank you and a shout-out to the people that have suggested a Midsummer Night's Dream, and that is Tegan Longman from the Gold Coast, Martha Innes.
Have you got...
From
sorry, I just I don't know.
Ian?
I was hype manning Tegan.
Oh, I thought you said Ian.
Just right. Another person.
Hey, let's all shout out a name we like.
Okay. Tegan.
Great. Right. Yep. Tegan Longman. Cool.
Yeah.
Martha Innes, who's from Scotland.
Martha. Started it. We've got to keep going.
All right. Taylor Hodkowitz from Tom's River. From New Jersey. Kayla's written here.
New
Thank
Jersey.
You for, translating for me. Mm. Emma L. from College Station, Texas.
Emma.
Margot Woolard from Aldington in the UK.
Margot! I don't feel good about this anymore. Keep
don't
going.
Worry, there's only one more. And that is Sean from Chicago.
Sean.
Yeah, no, that was actually the right way to do it, yeah. Sean.
So thanks to those people suggesting. There's a link in the description of this episode. If you want to click, you can click on it. You can tell me what book or play I should do.
Thank you for suggesting it, folks. But also, again, it's called Book Cheat.
Come on.
Guys.
I really have torn down the rules. I've done a poetry cheat episode, now an opera cheat episode. Mm. I'm sorry, everyone.
What's the furthest you would go? What if you just did TV cheat?
Just yeah.
I saw an awesome episode of The X-Files last week. Season 3, episode 4. Really loved it. Lots of bugs.
Mesa, have you seen The X-Files? No. No.
Yeah, I guess not.
What's that? How do you spell that?
I don't know.
E-X?
Yeah, the X-Files. There must have been a show.
There's got to be. A dating show, but it's about aliens or something.
The X-Files.
That would be fun.
Would be fun.
If it's like, and you go back and you find out your ex is an alien.
I'm afraid it doesn't sound that interesting. It's a 2014 Chinese romantic comedy film with a 5.7 rating on IMDb.
Ah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Nah, come on. We want reality, people. So a little bit of background. Midsummer Night's Dream is a comedy written by William Shakespeare around 1595. And yes, I have misspelled Shakespeare's name here. So you're in for a...
Dave,
you're in safe hands.
You don't have to tell anyone these things.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
I'm just honest with you and the listener.
No, that's true.
So it's relatively early on for him. It's one of his first 10 or so plays. It remains one of Shakespeare's most loved plays, and it's still one of his most performed around the world.
I certainly love it.
You enjoy it?
And I've seen it performed. Not to brag.
I also have. I don't think it was outside. I seem to remember seeing it at like a uni production.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas some years ago. So much Romeo and Juliet.
I've
consumed too much of it.
Really? I'm you done. Know too much?
Yeah.
You're like, star-crossed, blah, blah, blah.
What about Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet? It's a cultural icon.
That's the good
touchstone.
Stuff.
It is the good stuff.
That's the
it?
Good stuff. A bit of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
DiCap?
Yeah, a bit of the DiCap.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, long forgotten superstar.
Whatever happened to that guy?
What's he up to?
I'm at an article of child stars. Where are they now? Leonardo DiCaprio.
What happened to him? Mm. He's probably just dating someone quite younger than him on a boat somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Classic DiCap.
Has anyone made like a cappuccino that's got Leonardo DiCaprio's face on it? Because it feels like something that would be fun.
I think you should do it. I think you should devote. Don't Google it and devote many days and weeks to perfecting it. Then put it on the internet and then just wait for thousands of people to be like,
it's been done,
Beck.
How dare you independently think of an idea and then you do it and then it's already been done.
This is violence, actually, Beck.
Yeah,
so
you've actually...
Don't do it.
Leonardo DiCappuccino.
It's funny, though.
It's funny, though.
Yeah.
There's something in that.
Yeah.
Now, our play follows three main groups of characters that fantastically intertwine, all with sexy results.
Sexy.
So I'm gonna try and make sure it all makes sense. But if you get confused at any time, let me know, and I'll try and backtrack a little bit.
Mm. I'll just scream.
Yeah, the same thing you did in Hark.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just help.
Is that your reaction to any content?
Pretty much.
I love that.
That's right.
Do they edit the screams out of all of your other appearances on podcasts?
I've gotten used to some things now. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Superhero movies. Not as much screaming.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Sometimes they make me want to scream a lot. I'm like, ah, that sort of scream. You're like, why have you done that?
For that action figure sales. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, no, actually, no.
That's why they've done that.
No, I get it now.
Yeah.
Oh, to sell things to me. I get it. Was Shakespeare big into merch?
Oh, yeah.
Could you buy like a sort of like a bard hairpiece? What did he have going on?
Shakespeare rings.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
Oh, that's lovely.
You could buy a shake. You could buy a spear. Combo.
Milk Shakespeare. That's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of marketing opportunities that he really hasn't got into. Mm. Does Shakespeare have a Patreon?
we should look into that.
Yeah, okay.
If not, that's another great idea.
Shakereon.
People love Shakespeare.
Mm.
But how could we cash in on
No
one's ever made any money off him. Very strange.
Well, we always start with the opening line just to set it up. And with this, it is the character Theseus speaking, who enters the stage saying, "Now, fair Hippolyta, our nuptial hour draws on apace. 4 happy days bring in another moon. But oh, methinks how slow this old moon wanes." And... we are off.
We're in, yeah. That's a big opening line.
Yeah,
that's a lot of exposition plugged in there. That's good. We know Theseus is there.
Yeah.
Hippolyta's there. They're getting married,
I think. That's right. And there's moons.
But why is the moon slow?
Well, so what's happening here? The play opens with Theseus, who's the Duke of Athens, who was preparing for his marriage to Hippolyta. He's saying there that time is passing too slowly before their wedding day. He can't wait.
Oh.
It's like, oh, gosh, oh. Four more moons until we get married.
I just thought he was like, oh, look at that moon. You know, speed it up.
Because, guys, you know what happens on that wedding night? Zorba's dance.
Oh,
they get to
course.
Do Zorba's dance. So.
That starts to slow
speeds
that.
Up. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
That's the reason everyone gets married is to do Zorba's dance. I can't wait. I can't wait for the day someone that's lets right. me do Zorba's dance. Can't do it until then. You're
that's
not allowed.
Right, yeah, that's right.
So unmarried people.
Wedding reception. Yeah. Yeah.
So Hippolyta is his wife-to-be. She is queen of the Amazons, the people that he, Theseus, has just conquered.
Oh.
So from her reply to his line, it sounds like she's also keen on the approaching wedding day. Because at first you're like, that's a bit weird. He says, Hippolyta, I wooed thee with my sword and won thy love doing thee injuries. But she's still like, I also can't wait to get married.
Oh, so she's into this.
Yeah, so
it
she...
just sounds, I don't think you should woo people with a sword.
No.
Actually, no, I've taken it back. If it's a cool sword,
or,
I'm in.
Or if you're juggling.
What he did is he did that thing where you put it under your jumper and he did it like... Like that.
Oh, like a heartbeat sort of thing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
I would love if the way to woo me is get a samurai sword and I want to see a bit of like...
chop a watermelon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, chop a watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Show me what you got.
And do that thing where you like put it back in its sheath.
Yeah. And then it, and everything falls to bits, yeah. Hippolyta, also Wonder Woman's mum.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean,
because she's Amazonian, is that right?
It, yeah, I mean, it's not true in the sense that... She's not real. Then none of them are real.
Sure,
I'm
but
assuming these people aren't real.
Wait, so you can't say this.
And
to
even
Monica,
if they were, and even if they were
Monica.
Real, they'd be dead now. Beck, all right?
What?
They're
it's been
gods,
hundreds of
they?
Years.
People still live in Athens.
No.
Oh yeah, that's true. They do Zorba's dance.
Yeah, they still do it there.
Yeah,
but in the world of Wonder Woman.
Yes, that's right.
Her mother's name is Hippolyta.
That's correct. Yes.
Great reference.
You're very well.
Now, if I came across that, I'd get it.
Yeah.
I'm not a DC person, so I have nothing. I can't. I've got, oh, God damn.
That's
it.
Right. You're not a decent person.
I'm not a decent person.
Oh, did I mishear that? Sorry.
No, that is what I said. Okay. Every podcast I go on, I just say that so people know.
Yeah.
Just a bit of a disclosure. Not a decent person. All right, keep going.
Great to have you here, though. So he's conquered her people and they're going to get married. And she seems keen, but he still plans to win her over with a big celebration. So they're talking all things wedding. He sends one of his men out to get all of Athens ready to celebrate.
Mm.
A lot of stuff happening. Mm. But their wedding plans are interrupted by the arrival of a courtier named Aegeus, who needs the Duke to intervene with a family dispute.
Oh, no.
Oh, so that's okay. He's got that job as well.
Mm.
Boring. He
comes to me on the day of my wife's wedding, which is also my wedding.
My wedding, that's right.
with a request.
He's like, man, this is a real The Godfather situation here. I'm sick of being in The Godfather situations,
gosh.
But all right.
You see, his daughter, this is Aegeus' daughter, Hermia, will not agree to marry the man that he has chosen for her, a man named Demetrius.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, Demetrius... I don't know. What's he up to?
Oh, here's a
what's
question for you, Dave. In fact, there's two questions. One, how many acts are there in this so we know how much waffling to do in between everything?
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because we don't want to do this and then we're 7 hours in.
There are five acts.
Nice. Okay, great. Good, good, good. And second question, is somebody evil in this or is this one of these plays where everybody's kind of nice? You don't have to spoil that if you don't want to.
Everyone, well, I mean, they're kind of nice, but then there's also a man marrying a woman whose people he's just conquered and there's also
a man
going to the king being like, my daughter won't marry the man that I want her to.
Okay, so it's been exclusively evil stuff.
Yeah, great. But they're probably the two most evil things in this.
I guess it depends how evil you think sexism is. And that's on you, too.
That's
true. Just got to work it out. If you're like, oh, no, that's kind of fine.
There's also...
then maybe you're the evil one.
Yeah.
And that's how the play gets you.
Yeah, exactly. Really makes
I'll
you
learn
think.
A lesson here.
Yeah. He shows a mirror up to you and you feel like shit.
Stop this. No. No.
So there's also a few funny little pranks, depending on if you find them funny or mean.
I don't like pranks.
Yeah, I guess these are the YouTube pranks of their day.
Oh, God. That'll be even worse.
But we'll get to the pranks.
Hey, it's your boy Aegeus. Like and subscribe.
Smash that like button. I'm going to go up to this woman and say something mean. We'll see what she does. Oh, no, it went bad. Who could have predicted?
It's my wife.
It's my wife. She won't marry me. What the? What the? Rove, the original.
This is Aegeus Live.
Yeah.
Aegeus Live.
Who would you slay the Minotaur for? That's my final question every time.
Would you like an M&M? Never asked. They probably did.
Never asked? Wow. So, Aegeus is pissed off because Hermia will not marry Demetrius. This is because she loves another man, a guy called Lysander.
Okay.
And for the record, Lysander loves her back. So, to be honest, their relationship does make sense.
Oh.
Okay, great. Nice.
Despite that, Duke Theseus pulls out an old Athenian law that requires daughters to marry who their fathers choose.
Mm.
If she refuses, then he offers her one of two options. She must either die or accept a celibate life as a nun. And she has until the...
cool choices. Why isn't there like a third one that's like... Or, like, there should be a wild card choice in these old laws.
Or, pick the box or something.
Yeah, you pick a box and you open the box. It's like, you're going to be an accountant. Like, something real boring.
Shit.
You get to be a circus clown. That'd be fun as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, why isn't that in there?
I'm afraid that the options are marry Demetrius, become a nun,
yep,
or die.
Oh.
And she has until the Duke's wedding to decide, which is in a few days.
A real Hermania's choice.
Hermia's choice.
It's a real Hermia's choice. Yeah. Where we get that classic expression, a real Hermia's choice.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Hermia is like, okay, stuff that. And she and her lover, Lysander, decide to run away together and get married far, far away at his aunt's house.
That is a wild card choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wild card.
That's a wild card. Yeah. Where they'll be free from the laws of Athens because she lives so far away.
Mm.
They tell their secret plan to Helena, who is Hermia's best friend.
Yeah, whoa. Okay, all right. For now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Till
because
betrayal. Inevitable
here
betrayal, probably.
Is the little twist here. Helena used to date Demetrius.
Oh.
The one that Hermia's father wants her to marry.
Mm, okay.
What's Demetrius up to? Is he, like, into all this or is he, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm into this. He comes in from side of stage every once in a while to be like, I'm into this.
I'm into this. That sounds like a bloke.
Demetrius off. Out!
Cheerio!
Tragically, Demetrius dumped Helena, his ex-girlfriend, to be with her best friend Hermia.
Ooh, this is a real disaster.
So it breaks down like this. Hermia loves Lysander.
They're going to run away.
Lysander loves Hermia. Great.
Nice.
Helena loves Demetrius, but Demetrius loves Hermia.
This is like Riverdale.
A lot of stuff going on here.
This is the Netflix of the day.
It's like Betty and Veronica and Archie. Jughead's
sort of off to the side.
Big Moose. Is Big Moose in Riverdale? Big Moose?
Moose is,
okay,
but not
that's,
Big Moose.
Okay,
he's a regular.
Well,
regular.
I only like Big Moose.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Recast Big Moose.
But Fangs? Is Fangs in the Archie coming?
I think that's new.
Big Fangs?
Yeah.
Big Fangs.
One of the most famous lines of the play comes from Lysander in Act One, who says, "The course of true love never did run smooth."
That is so true, isn't it?
I mean, if it's really true, I don't know. Some true love could run real smooth. You could get that real smooth love. You know smooth love?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know that smooth love?
Yeah, you know that smooth
love. Put me down for some smooth love.
Sometimes people are like, it's important to have levels and like it's okay to fight if you're in a relationship. But also, what if you don't?
What a smooth love. Anyway, folks, go to smoothlove.com. Put in the offer code book cheats and you'll get 20% off all your smooth love products.
Oh, no, smooth love sounds like a sex thing.
Yeah, it
well, let's
oh,
find
no.
out.
Let's find out what it is.
What is it? Is it a thing?
Smoothlove.com is loading. Oh, hugedomains.com says we could buy it now for the low, low price of $2,295.
That's too much money.
No, I don't want that. Thank you.
Or just 24 payments of $95.
Oh, that's
cheap, actually.
Then.
Okay, that's a bargain.
I'm coming in.
24. And there's a number here where I can talk to a domain expert.
All right.
And that person will go, this domain, hot.
Oh, I know. I mean,
it's for sex stuff. It's hot.
What do you want smoothlove.com for, just out of interest? None of your business.
See, I was being all innocent. I was like, easy love. So you guys,
you can actually do this for anything, Beck. Go to easylove.com. Put in book cheap for 20% off all our products, our sex products,
what
Beck. Yeah, that's right.
Nah, actually, I mean, I want to make money. I'm done.
So Helena goes and tells her love Demetrius that Hermia and Lysander are skipping town. Remember, Demetrius also loves Hermia.
That's right.
Basically, Helena goes to him just so she can have a reason to talk to the man she's in love with. Like, I've got something to tell you. That night, Lysander and Hermia, who are the couple, escape from Athens.
Oh.
But they lose their way in the woods. After Helena tells Demetrius what they're up to, he decides to follow them.
Into the woods.
Into the woods, because he's like, hey, come back. You're supposed to marry me, Hermia.
That's right.
And then Helena follows Demetrius in the hope that he will give up on Hermia and then choose her instead.
Nice.
So now they're all running into the woods.
Second choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love that.
Hey, when he isn't there, I'll be right here.
Yeah.
Helena says, love can transpose to form and dignity. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind, and therefore is winged Cupid painted blind.
Mm.
Beautiful stuff. Commenting on the irrational nature of love there, a recurring theme of tonight's entertainment.
No one ever goes into the woods to solve problems anymore. I think that's sad. I think we should all run into the woods and try and work out our relationship.
I mean, I think some problems have been solved in the woods. I'm talking about digging graves.
Graves.
Those problems have definitely been solved.
Or that awesome episode of The X-Files that I'll be covering on BookCheck next week. So that's one main group, our four lovers, Lysander, Hermia, Helena, Demetrius. We also meet another group in Act 1, but don't panic because it's not this times five. We're nearly halfway through.
Are they the comedy ones?
Yeah.
Okay, comedy boys.
They're our six popular mechanicals. They are a group of amateur and mostly incompetent actors from around Athens looking to make names for themselves because they have been chosen to put on a play as part of the entertainment for the royal wedding between Duke Theseus and Queen Hippolyta.
Oh. Dave, does this mean what I think it means? Play within a play?
It is a play within a play.
Play within a play! Yeah. Whee, whee,
whee, whee, whee, whee. Hell yeah.
Can you hear dabs?
Yeah. All the good ones have it. And here we go. Hamlet. And now, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Now, they are preparing a play of the tragic love story of Pyramus and Thisbe. Mm. The full title, The Most Lamentable Comedy and Most Cruel Death of Pyramus and Thisbe.
Now, is this a real play or did Shakespeare invent this play to put in his own play?
Mm. No, I think it's invented to be put in this play. And I think it's a little bit of a piss take.
Is it a piss take of Romeo and Juliet almost?
Yes, let me read the plot to you. And Beck, do you know more about this play than you were letting on?
No, I just know about Romeo and Juliet. Oh, okay. I was like, is that Romeo and Juliet? I did Romeo and Juliet in high school, watched the movie. I don't know why they were like you've got to get this up, yeah. But I don't think it was that good. Like, I feel like the relationship, what am I learning from this?
I mean, they were 12 years old.
That's true.
They were 12 years old and they're like, that's it for us now, I guess, because they won't let us smooch. It's like, get over it.
Well, let's see if there's any parallels between Pyramus and Thisbe and Romeo and Juliet. So the play within a play tells the story of two lovers, tick, tick, separated by their parents' feud.
Oh, my God.
And they speak to each other at night through a hole in a wall.
Okay, that's less... like the thing, but that's good.
Anyway, folks, got a hole in the wall. Putting BookCheer for 20% off all our products. Mostly drills. We just sell drills, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not a sexy thing at all. No,
I mean, it will be later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thought we were going to get out clean on this one.
Sorry, Beck.
Go to getoutclean.com. Perfect.
So they speak to each other through a hole in the wall. They agree to meet. Thisbe arrives first, but is startled by the sight of a lion and runs away, leaving her cloak. And when Pyramus gets there, he sees the cloak and the lion and assumes that Thisbe is dead stabs himself with his sword. And then Thisbe arrives and finds Pyramus dead, so she kills herself with the same sword.
It's the same thing. But we didn't discuss how big the hole in the wall was, because when they're talking to each other, it's just as big as their mouth and they're just going, hello, hello, hello.
And there's only one hole, so it's like, my turn to talk now.
My turn to talk in the hole now.
That's the famous line from the play within a play. My turn to talk now. Through the hole.
Hello, hello. And they just can see, and there's a big bit of the play where it's like, I've only ever seen your eyeball. I've never seen your whole face.
But you got a really hot eyeball.
And then there's the accident. To lick the eyeball scene where they both go at the hole at the same time.
Like,
This would be like if the writers of Scream were then asked to write Scary Movie. That's the current reference I have.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think it would sound a little something like this.
Jokey.
You better believe it.
Now, by having their production chosen among several acts as the courtly entertainment for the royal wedding of Theseus and Hippolyta, these men are in for a big break, is what they think. So there's six of them. There's Peter Quince, Francis Flute, Robin Starveling, Tom Snout, Snug.
Snug! Is that the name? Is that the whole name?
Snug.
Every time I come up to like someone going, like, how do you like pronounce Beck Petratus? There's a little bit in the back of my mind going, you should have changed your name to something real, like, tight, small.
Oh, okay.
Snug. Snug. Snug feels right.
Could be your rebrand.
Yeah. Snug is my new name. Welcome, Snug. Welcome to the Snage.
Have you got
Snage,
a...
Snug.
You insist on that. That's in your ID. Like, you have to say, your agent comes in and sweeps everything off the desk, and they're like, when she comes on, you say, welcome to the Snage, Snug.
It's a thing.
That's the funny thing. Yeah, that's great. That's a good opener for me. I feel like.
Have you got snug.com?
That'd be full of sex toys in no time.
Well, if I've got anything to do, you can get 20% off. All right. So they're the characters, except for one more, which is Nick Bottom, the Weaver. And that's the most important one for my summary here.
Okay, cool.
The other names are quite good, but Nick Bottom's the one we got to remember.
And Nick Bottom is important.
And they refer to him as Bottom.
Oh, my goodness.
He is our...
Now, let me ask you this, Dave. Did bottom have the similar funny connotations in Shakespeare's day as it does right now when I say bottom?
That it means bot.
Yeah.
It's got a highbrow name back then.
Oh, okay, cool. It's like a lawyer.
Yeah.
I've got to hire a bottom.
What do you do? Oh, I'm a bottom. Mm. Oh, okay, great. Obviously quite wealthy then.
Happy Pride Month for last month to everyone out there listening. Continue.
So he's our comic relief character. So yes, I think it is a funny name. Always interrupting the others and getting into mischief. He's also integral in connecting the groups in the play.
So
he brings it all together a bit.
By running about.
He's quite confident and suggests that he could play Thisbe, the lion, and Pyramus at the same time. In the end, he's decided he's going to play Pyramus.
Okay.
Francis Flute, the bellows mender, begrudgingly agrees to play Thisbe, his love interest in the play.
We're just going to let bellows mender? Is that a job on a stage crew? You just mend the bellows?
They've all
just
got
it's just a bit of gaffer on the bellows. You just go, there we go. So
We did it.
Yeah,
great.
Do they need that?
Yes.
The bellows always breaking?
That's important.
Break the bellows.
And that is the end of Act 1.
Oh, good.
But about half my summary, because I needed to set up every character.
Yeah, sure.
So don't panic. This always happens. We get through it and you're like, oh, no. Act 1, this times 5, we'll be here forever.
Mm.
At the start of Act 2, we meet our third group. So let's remember this. There's two groups. There's the four lovers that are all in a bit of a love square / triangle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the mechanicals who are putting on the play. And the third group is the fairies.
Hell yeah, a bit of magic, love it.
It's a very magical play, this one. They are nearby and have recently returned from India to attend the wedding.
Oh.
Oberon.
Why are they coming to the wedding? Were they invited?
I think I've got to give a bit, they're blessing it, that sort of thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
Bringing a bit of razzle-dazzle, bit of magic.
But the other two groups don't know they exist, right? They're not aware of the concept of fairies?
No, they don't seem to be,
Right. They're not like, I can't wait till some fairies get here.
Hey, so they're wedding crashers. Is this an Owen Wilson situation coming in, crashing the wedding by a fairy?
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So Oberon, the king of the fairies, is in a bit of a fight with his queen, Titania. You see, Titania has taken a little Indian prince as her attendant. And the boy is so beautiful that Oberon wishes to make him his knight. But Titania won't give the boy to her husband because the boy's mother used to worship her, so she feels bound to keep him close.
Okay.
You know, relatable family drama stuff.
Yeah.
You know when there's a prince that you want, but then your husband also wants this prince?
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a magic thing. So Oberon, the fairy king, begins to plot a way to get revenge on his wife Titania for her disobedience.
I love plotting against my wife. Every day I'm like, oh, it's time for a revenge plot against my wife.
I'll get the boys together and we plot some revenge against my wife.
Yeah, against the old ball and chain.
That's right.
That person I love. Time to get revenge. Every day. This feels like a prank channel thing. That's what prank channels do.
When you're going to prank someone. You got to get your ultimate pranker involved, right?
Yeah, you do. The original prankster.
You got to get original prankster, King of the Pranks, fairy servant, Robin Goodfellow, a.k.a. Puck. We talked about him before.
We did earlier, that's right.
Yeah.
He's a well-known prankster, and he's asked to fetch a purple flower called Love in Idleness that has juice that makes sleeping people, upon waking, fall in love with the next creature that they see.
Ah.
So you drip a bit on the eyelids when someone's asleep. They open their eyes. They see Meso. They're in love with Meso.
That's right. Take a number and get in line, everybody.
Or take some juice.
Well, that doesn't sound like anything will go wrong there,
exactly.
Which I appreciate. I think that's really
important. Yeah, I think that's a clear-cut plan. I can't see any problems potentially arising.
And can I say, the Fairy King's plan is make his wife fall in love with someone or something ridiculous and in some way force her to give him the Indian prince.
Okay.
So you embarrass her and also get the little boy.
This does sound like a YouTube channel.
Hey, baby, you fell in love with a tree. Now give me a prince. The classic line.
Yeah, so that's what I always do with the old ball and chain. I'm like, make you fall in love with like a bit of tan bark. And I finally get the remote and I can watch my sports.
You throw the tambuck out the window. They dive after it.
I just put it in a park with the rest of the tambuck. Good luck. Good luck finding your
There's
one true love.
There's like 4 million tambucks here. Now, a storyline's crossover here because enter the forest, Helena chasing Demetrius, telling him that she loves him and that she'll win him back somehow. Mm. But it's all a bit tragic because he rebuffs her with cruel insults.
Don't chase her.
Yeah. Remember, they used to date. He's dumped her and she's like, I'll get you back. And he's just like...
More like Helena, he says.
Yes.
Aww.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, not cool.
That's based on her name.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He knows all the tricks.
That hurts.
He's been working on them since high school.
That's awful.
Yeah.
He's a professional high school bully.
Getting paid
for
it.
More like Helene, don't. Thank you. I can do it with any name.
Any name?
Wow. Yeah.
See, Hermia I feel bad for. Because I feel like she would just get called Hernia.
Yeah, that'll do it, won't it?
Easy, you just got to...
Herpia.
One of the
Herpia. Bits.
Germia.
Yeah. Herpia, the big dumb idiot.
Yeah.
I've combined two there.
Oh, wow.
Accident. Oh, wow. That's really...
You're a professional.
Yeah, you are a professional bully.
I'm the king of sting.
Yeah. That's what they call you.
Queen of Mean. That's me.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah.
Someone goes like, bloody king of sting over here.
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
podcast cruelest man.
That's what you're known as.
Oh, no. You invite him on the show, you know you're going to get stung. You're going to get stung.
I drag my throne in here every day.
Yeah. You've got a little crown you put on
too. That's right, yeah. You know what's coming when I put the crown on.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. But you give it, but you cannot take her.
No,
absolutely not. No.
You cannot take her.
No. That's why you got the scepter. You just go, bonk.
So Demetrius is rejecting Helena in a cruel way. Oberon, the fairy king, overhears Demetrius mistreating Helena. And when he sees Puck, his loyal servant, he tells him to anoint the Athenian with the love potion so that Demetrius will fall in love with the first person that he sees, hoping that it will be Helena so he'll love her back.
Yeah, and that solves all the problems.
Yes, and then we've got two couples that love each other. Great.
Perfect.
However, Puck, our prankster, hasn't actually seen what Demetrius looks like, and he mistakes who the Athenian is that his boss was referring to, and he puts the flower juice on the eyes of the sleeping Lysander.
No!
The other guy who's run off to marry Hermia.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't need to be fall in love with someone. He already loves a woman who loves him back. So.
Well, hopefully he wakes up and he sees that woman. Exactly. And everything's sorted. That's probably what's going to happen.
Double love.
Yeah.
Down on that.
Oh, but I'm afraid... Things take a twist here. I'm not going to believe it.
I am not. Good golly goodness.
Helena comes across the sleeping Lysander and wakes him up, and he immediately falls in love with her and starts rejecting his wife to be Hermia.
I mean, she seems... I'm cool with that.
Wow.
I'm cool with that. I don't think that's a twist. I'm like, Helena, she got bullied. I think she deserves
something. Yeah, but now, but she doesn't love him. She loves Demetrius, so no one loves someone that they love back now. Yeah.
Well, now just put some of that juice in Helena's eyes and we've solved the problem.
Well,
just juice up everyone.
Everyone's
eyes.
Everyone's in love.
Yeah.
I mean, just like juice up Demetrius. No, Demetrius just needs to go.
Yeah.
I reckon
we should execute him.
Yes. All right. I mean, I just meant leave.
No,
but yeah, sure.
No, Beck, we got the subjects there.
I'd appreciate a kind of play where, like, the audience gets to suggest a thing that's going to happen. I mean, that's improv,
that's
really.
Improv.
It's improv, really.
Improv.
But yeah. Shakespeare improv, you're like, how about we just execute the guy?
Just chop off his.
I need an occupation. Executioner. All right. I need a workplace. Executioner's workplace. All
right. That guy's neck. Yeah. Perfect.
But tragically for Helena, she is so used to being treated badly by men that when Lysander starts declaring his undying love, she thinks he's playing a trick on her, that he's mocking her.
Aww.
What's Greece? There's a lot of pranks happening in Greece.
A lot of pranks.
Yeah.
It's a very prank-filled time.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
She's like, well, don't you love Hermia? And he replies that she means nothing to him. Oh. Still thinking that it's a cruel joke, Helena runs away. She's like, stop making fun of me.
I feel bad for Helena. Let Helena have whatever.
She's not having
a
good time. Meanwhile, Lysander's wife-to-be, Hermia, wakes to find him gone. So she goes looking for him. So now they're all split up.
In the woods?
In the woods.
In the woods. You don't want to be split up in the woods.
And they obviously.
That's how the Blair Witch gets you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
So obviously, magical woods. There's a bit of magic going on.
Or whatever monster was in Scream, the Scream Man.
Scream Man.
Scream Man.
Scream Man.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile. <the woods.
laughs> Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meanwhile, our mechanicals start to rehearse their play in the very same woods. It's all a bit silly. They start to worry that their play will be too realistic and scare the ladies in the crowd, which could get them executed.
That's okay. Calm down. This is funny because it is like those just guys in comedy who are like, we're too good.
I'm too good at this.
Guys, I'm a little bit worried that this podcast is going to be so good that we will leave, we will open that door and we will be executed. That's how good our podcast was.
Whoa. You really showed up Shakespeare and he's like a guy we hold very highly.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Off with your heads. They're really overrating their terrible acting skills, so they decide to write a prologue explaining that the lion is not really a lion, the sword's not really a sword, and they assure the ladies that no one really dies in this.
Does that happen in... Because Romeo and Juliet, I vaguely remember, this is not the play we're doing, but I was the prince in high school, so I explained, I was like the narrator. I would just come in and go like... I said that if ever was there a tale of Juliet and Romeo, I said like that.
Oh, like star-crossed lovers.
Yeah. Like that.
They take flight, all that sort of
stuff.
Yeah,
like that stuff. The prince comes in and goes, blah, blah, blah. Is that what happens? It sounds like he's like burning his other play within this play. I like this because it's what I do sometimes when I will write comedy. I'll go like, nah, but that was a stupid thing to say. And he's like going like, I guess that was a good play, but, you know, it had problems and these are the problems. He's roasted himself.
It feels like he is. I'll just double check the Romeo and Juliet make sure that it wasn't after this. He was like, actually, that makes me think.
But he might have been writing it as he was doing it and just going like,
you're right.
I'm writing this other play.
Yeah, and it sucks, actually.
It actually stinks.
You know, when you're a band, like they release a new album and they're like, this is our good one. Like the last one, we weren't even really trying on the last one. And I'm like, I bought that last one. What are you doing?
What is that last one? Yeah. And they're like, nah, this one's where it's at.
Yeah.
I'm the mountain goats. That's how they
talk.
To me,
the mountain goats.
It's me, the mountain goats. Our latest album, pretty good. That Tallahassee shit. That's the mountain goats.
More like the mountain don'ts. That's right. I got myself.
I like the mountain goats.
I was looking at Romeo and Juliet was believed to be written between 1591 and 95, and this one is 95 or 96, so it probably is.
Timeline works. Yeah. We haven't uncovered the greatest mystery of Shakespeare.
Yeah, no, I don't
think so. We haven't turned everything we know about Shakespeare on its head.
Hang on a second.
Wait a minute.
They also decide that a person must play the role of the wall that separates the characters of Pyramus and Thisbe. So now you have three people pressed up against each other. Comical hilarity will ensue.
Yeah, that's funny stuff. Yeah,
Where do you put the hole?
Well.
Sexy place. No. Yucky. But, I mean, I guess you could go like, if you had your hands out sort of like this and there was like, I just want to know what the costume
Make
was
a loop.
Like.
Like you make some loops.
Yeah, make a loop.
A teapot handle.
Yeah.
So the workers' rehearsals in the woods are overheard by the mischievous Puck.
He's at it again.
The prankster fairy.
Oh, my God.
He decides he hasn't already done it.
Sorry, I don't know. Yeah, keep going.
He decides he hasn't already done enough damage by making the wrong people fall in love with each other, so he decides to play a trick on the actors. When Bottom, remember Nick Bottom?
Yeah, I do.
Is away from the others, Puck decides to punk him by turning his head into an ass.
Oh, I know this play.
A donkey, that is.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Oh, and he's Bottom and ass.
Now, Dave, I ask you this? Did the term ass have as funny connotations back then?
This is where it all started.
Whoa.
See,
he's very
like
good.
That's very funny.
So now he has the head of an ass.
He's got the head of an ass.
Okay, right.
And did punking come from Puck? It was like punking, and then it slowly became punking? Punked?
We'll have to ask Ashton.
Punked.
Yeah, Ashton Shakespeare. William
More
Shakespeare's
like?
Descendant. That's
oh
right.
God.
He changed it because he didn't want like people to think he was getting a free ride just because of his name.
Yeah.
Now, when they do this play live, do they have a big prop donkey head?
Yeah,
we're supposed to imagine it.
Yeah,
like
no,
idiots.
I think often you go to the costume shop and get a donkey's head.
Yeah, nice.
The head of an ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when the ass-headed Bottom re-enters the scene, the other men become terrified and run for their lives. And delighting in the mischief that he's caused, Puck chases after them, thinking this is hilarious. But Bottom stays behind in the same area of the forest where Titania, the queen of the fairies, happens to be.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She wakes up and having had the love potion put in her eyes, remember this was the whole plan, she sees and immediately falls in love with Bottom, who has the head of an ass.
There's so much going on in this play.
So much.
I would be like, calm down, you know? You know when you're watching a show and you're like, there's like a few plot lines here you could take
just
out.
Just settle down.
Settle down.
Just settle down, all right?
So now I'm supposed to believe that a fairy loves a person who has a donkey head.
Yes.
Okay.
Fine.
Well, I guess so.
All right, greatest writer in the English language.
Fine,
all right.
Whatever.
Oberon, the fairy king, hears how his wife is in love with the man with an ass on his head and is delighted that his plan is working so well.
Yeah, she's going to be so embarrassed.
This is so embarrassing for
this
her.
This is going to make her agree to the thing that I said earlier.
Yeah, he's
I've forgotten what it is, yep. But it's good for me,
I'm
think.
I'm laughing with the
this
boys.
This outcome is good for me, yeah.
At the pub, I'm like, ha-ha, got her. Bloody got my wife. I hate her so
now
much.
Let's all drink beers, even though we don't like the taste of beer. Let's do it because it's acceptable for us.
That's why my wife loves an ass. I'm married to a woman who loves another man's ass.
I mean, he's also kind of an ass himself.
Oh.
So,
exactly. She loves two asses.
She loves two asses.
And also, it should be said that Nick Bottom, he doesn't realise that his head is a donkey.
Can he say things? Like, does he say
So when his friends run away, he's like, what the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, poor guy. He hasn't gone like this.
Hang on. My ears.
Beck, how many times a day do you go like that?
24/7 Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
Just making sure my face is still where it is.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
So then enter Hermia, who has no idea where her husband-to-be Lysander has gone. Remember, she's woken up and he's gone somewhere. She doesn't realise that he's in love with another woman yet.
I don't think you should sleep in the woods without, like, a tent and stuff.
No, just open air sleeping.
I
That's
mean,
where it's
you
at.
Can if you want, but yeah. There's, like, bugs and stuff. I don't know.
Especially in magical woods. But Hermia has run into Demetrius.
Yuck!
Fairy King Oberon realises that Puck has put the spell on the wrong man. He sees them together and goes, hang on a second.
Mm-hmm.
He orders Puck to make things right, and Puck remarks, Lord, what fools these mortals be. It's like, mate, you're the one who stuffed up here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. don't put this on me, Puck. Well, yeah, come on.
Hermia and Demetrius split up, and Demetrius now alone. He lies down for a sleep. And trying his best to remedy the situation, Puck puts the flower juice on his eyes.
Isn't the juice.
And you'll never guess who wakes him up.
Oh, my God.
Helena.
Whoa.
He falls in love with her. Now, both men love Helena.
I just really feel like everyone could, Shakespeare's time, if they had Red Bull, none of these problems would happen. They would all be awake all the time. Everyone could be asleep and get pranked.
Like our society.
Yeah.
We are prank-proof.
Prank-proof because we're all got that guarana.
Yeah,
is that what does it?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, it's not the caffeine and
that
sugar.
Sweet, sweet addiction we all have.
Yes.
So he wakes up. falls in love with Helena. Both men now love Helena. So this is how it breaks down now. Helena loves Demetrius. Hermia still loves Lysander.
Yeah.
Demetrius and Lysander, both because of the drugs, love Helena.
How's Helena feeling about that now? Is she loving it?
No.
Oh.
Because they both pursue her, and thinking that they're both mocking her, she's offended because she's like, hang on, I said, but neither of you loved me before. Now you're both saying you love me. You're obviously playing some sort of cruel prank on me.
I think I need to ask, though, Helena, hot or not hot?
Well, she even comments at the start of the play that her and Hermia are on a similar level of looks, and she doesn't understand why Demetrius has dumped her and now wants to go after Hermia.
But what about their inner beauty?
That's what I was referring to, actually.
I thought you were checking.
Yeah, it's
out.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting that you've assumed.
You went external.
Hey,
but I didn't finish yet.
Okay, great.
Then she goes on to say, and actually, it's interesting to note that inside I'm more beautiful than her, and yet. All the men love this other, my best friend.
I don't think you're more beautiful if you say that you're more beautiful on the inside. If you're like, actually, interesting fact, my personality, really great.
Yeah,
I don't think
hot
that's
personality.
Like,
yeah.
She's just really hot.
She then also says that I'm a one on the self-awareness scale, so that cancels each other out.
Yeah. Now where are we?
No, I'm very self-aware. No, she's not.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
So both men chasing Helena. She's like, stop mocking me, boys. Meanwhile, Hermia, who both men used to love until about 5 minutes ago, watches on and is jealous and confused as hell about the lack of attention being paid to her. Because before, she was running away with her husband and was being chased by another man. And now that husband and the other man are running after her best friend.
What am I in a Benny Hill sketch?
What's going on here?
Well, he was running the Scooby-Doo.
What am I dressed as a nurse and I'm running around, but then I'm being chased, but now I'm chasing.
What? Can we pay for that? I'll do a sound alike version. Not at all. They're not going to get that one. You're fine.
Right, we're fine.
Benny Hill's bottoms aren't going to get us back.
That's just random notes. Fun to chase to, though.
So Oberon and Puck the fairies watch the chaos unfold. The two men start to fight over Helena, and things escalate quickly, and they decide that they need to settle things with a duel.
Sick. Swords. That's how to impress me, as previously discussed.
That's right.
Yeah. Oberon commands.
Unless they're just punching each other. What are they doing? What's this duel?
Each man will get a watermelon tied to a rope, and each has got to chop it in the air. That's right. Hot stuff.
Fruit ninja it.
Mm-hmm.
Oberon commands Puck to put things right again. Puck eventually distracts the two men from their pursuit of Helena by impersonating their voices, and they get lost in separate areas of the woods.
Ooh.
The four lovers fall asleep, exhausted from the chaos. Puck places restorative juice on Lysander's eyes.
So a different juice?
Yeah.
Okay, different juice. But just on one of them?
Just one of the men.
Okay,
Lysander's eyes. Okay.
Yeah, but he decides...
That works out then, because then he'll fall back in love with his proper lady.
Yes.
And then the other two will still be...
Yeah, he decides to leave Demetrius's love for Helena. And when they wake, he says none of them will have any memory of what happened and it will feel like a dream.
Oh.
A Midsummer Night's Dream, if you will.
Name of the play in the play.
Meanwhile, Titania, the fairy queen, is still in love with Bottom, who still has the head of an ass. She dotes on him and they fall asleep together and it's very much like, oh, what's going on? Bit funny that she's in love with this man with a funny-looking face. Oberon has been able to get the Indian prince from her in this state, and he decides to undo the spell by whispering in her ear. She's very surprised to see Bottom there with the head of a donkey. She's like, what the hell is going on?
Mm.
She has a great line. She says, me thought I was enamored of an ass.
Yes!
Great line.
I've said that too.
Yeah, me thought I was enamored of an ass.
Paul said that.
Puck also returns Bottom's head to normal.
Ah.
He returns to the city to rejoin his friends where they are preparing to perform their play.
Oh, he got back in time for the play.
He's made it.
It's like the end of one of those movies.
Wedding Crashes.
Wedding Crashes. Mm-hmm.
Back in time.
The play.
The Hangover. They get back in time.
Just in time.
Just in time.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine. Just in time to get in the time machine.
Time to get time machine.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie.
At this point, the Duke Theseus, his attendants, Hippolyta and Aegeus, who was Hermia's father from the start of the play, who started this whole thing by banning her from marrying whom she actually loves, they all enter the forest together. They're on a hunting party.
Oh my goodness. The royals are getting involved. Okay.
And they're startled to find our four main characters, Helena, Hermia, Lysander and Demetrius, all asleep. Lysander wakes up and he sees Hermia and falls in love with her once again.
Nice.
So now Hermia and Lysander love each other and Demetrius and Helena love each other. The hunting party asks what the hell just happened and they don't really know. They've all just had the strangest dream.
What were they hunting? This is not important. What is in the woods? What's
love.
In the woods? Not like quail or something? Okay.
Yeah, probably quail.
Probably quail.
Endangered buffalo.
Yeah, something really
something for the wedding,
probably. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, something for the wedding.
We need tiger dicks for the wedding.
We need big,
as many as we can get.
Giant tiger dicks for the wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like confetti.
Oh, yeah.
You got to hunt that confetti.
You can't have a tiger dick without confetti.
No.
What's the point?
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to spray at the end?
Yeah, exactly.
The Duke Theseus orders them to follow him to the temple for the great wedding feast. So they all go off. Meanwhile, the mechanicals are freaking out because surely they can't do the play without Bottom because he hasn't gotten back yet.
Oh, no!
They wonder what has happened to him. They hear that the Duke and Hippolyta have been married and they're keen to see a play, but they don't know if they can do it without Bottom.
Is there a bit where it's like, oh, what if Bottom's at the bottom of a well?
Yeah.
What if Bottom's bottomed out on drugs?
Lots of bottom.
Bottom, double up. That's what Shakespeare did, yeah?
Yeah, loved it.
He did words. Cool.
And just as all seems lost, Bottom enters and wonders why they all look so sad. They ask where he's been, but he says he has no time to explain. They have a play to put on.
Oh.
So they're all like, we're not going to be able to do it without Bottom. And then he appears. And it's like, guys, I'm here to save the day.
Bottom's here, baby.
Can I just jump back for a bit? When Bottom entered and said, why do you look so sad? Is that actually Shakespeare? And does he go, it's a nice place, shut up, your face? Is that where those words came from?
Yeah, that's
is
right.
That a,
yeah.
Is that Joe Dolce song a cover?
Yeah, it is. Of
Shakespeare.
Of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. Yeah. In its entirety, yeah.
Ah, what's the matter, you? Pardon. That actually does sound a bit like
your
Shakespeare.
Your lover, the wronger lady. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I put the juice in your eyes. Shut up, you face.
Your ass face.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's a very...
You got the head of a donkey.
He's a very influential writer, I told you.
That's right.
Our final act, Act 5, sees our mechanicals put on their terrible play of Pyramus and Thisbe. It's so bad it's good, and everyone laughs assuming it's meant to be a comedy, but it's not.
This is like The Room, they say.
Oh. And afterwards they're like, oh, yeah. Comedy, yeah, that's what
that's
we meant.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
we weren't trying our best.
Yeah.
They put emphasis on the wrong words, mix up lines, like Bottom says, I see a voice. I can hear my Thisbe's face. Just generally overacting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now everyone is happily reunited, Lysander with Hermia and Demetrius with Helena, so they agree to share the Duke's wedding day.
Oh, that's not cool. You don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go like, oh, there's a wedding on anyway. May as well shove mine in here.
Guys, we're getting engaged too, guys.
Will you be our witnesses?
Worst.
Yeah, guys, we've got an announcement. And we're pregnant, everyone.
Don't worry. We'll put our wishing well next to your wishing well.
Yeah,
it won't be confusing.
Yeah,
be
and then I love people who are like, no, we asked them and they said it was fine. They didn't think it was
no.
fine. They were being polite.
Exactly. They just didn't want to say
they
anything.
They didn't want to say anything. They were being nice. And then people are going to keep talking to them going, oh, that happened at your wedding, and then people have to go, yeah.
It's all anyone remembers from our wedding.
It's not your day. It's not your day.
It costs so much money. Stop it. If you are listening to this and you're about to announce something at someone else's wedding.
Yeah, if you're at a wedding.
Yes.
And you're about to announce your engagement or pregnancy.
And you have an AirPod in.
You're listening to this podcast to calm podcast. Your nerves before you announce your pregnancy or wedding at this other person's wedding. Just don't,
just
all right?
Don't.
Please.
Don't.
We
don't
actually
for us.
All got together and this is actually about you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how you're like, you think everything is about you because you're about to announce your pregnancy at someone else's wedding.
Well, this actually
this
is.
This actually is about you.
Yeah.
Everything else isn't. This one thing. You. Don't.
Just don't.
Stop.
Stop it.
Anyway, like and subscribe.
Smash that like button.
Go to smoothlove.com. Get some stuff for your honeymoon.
Shut up, your ass face.
So everyone ends up together, and after enjoying the hilarious tragedy play, the three couples retire to bed. Separately, I assume.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, but also everyone has slept so much. Everyone must be yeah. so well rested and they're still making sleepy mistakes. Town. Oh my goodness.
In the play's epilogue, Puck and the fairies return to bless the palace and its people, saying that the couples will be true to each other forever. Puck then makes a final address to the audience. He says that if the play has offended, the audience should remember everything that happened was just a dream.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
I know.
They do that on Sky News sometimes. Say something real quick to the editorial. Go like, don't worry, it's a nightmare.
What a non-apology. Guys, if you were offended, it was all a dream, actually.
That's
so
funny, doing like an apology in front of a couch, like sitting on the couch going, now I know I offended some people, but it's important to remember I'm a figment of your imagination.
So, if anything, you've offended yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Was Shakespeare not woke? Was he like an edgelord?
Oh,
he
yeah,
had to
that's
put
right.
this in his play.
He then wishes the audience members good night and asks them to give him their hands in applause if they are kind friends.
Oh.
So the final line is, if we shadows have offended, think but this and all is mended. Then he says the line about being a dream. And the final bit is, give me your hands if we be friends and Robin shall restore amends. And Robin is Puck's real name.
I was going to say, who's Robin?
Yeah,
that was my first
surprise.
Question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robin from Batman.
Yeah, that's
Batman.
Right.
Robin, yeah.
Here he is,
it's
Robin.
It's DC.
It's the Robin
again.
Dancers. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, come on down, boys.
if you can't say anything anymore about a man's head being turned into a donkey's head.
No.
You just can't say it.
You can't say it.
It's PC gone mad.
It is. It's PC gone mad. You can't have everyone fall in love. Like,
and PC stands for Puck Shenanigans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I've just realised also, is Shenanigans with a C?
Now
just,
it is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I've also realised this is very, like, it's. I mean, of course it's heteronormative, but also, why couldn't they have just all been like a big quadruple?
Yeah,
I don't know if that's what it's called.
A real polycule.
Yeah, what? Is that what it is?
With six,
so, yeah.
with six
yeah,
of them, recently. Including the Duke and the...
Yeah, get them all together. That would have been
magic people as well. Get some magic.
And what's so wrong with a woman falling in love with a man with the head of an ass?
That's right.
That feels fine.
What's so funny about that, guys?
Yeah.
That's not funny, is it? It's a bit funny.
Are you asking because you've got an ass head?
Yeah.
This is
guys,
really...
it's not funny. Guys, it's a serious condition.
Yes.
Okay?
I've got ass head and I went to the doctor about it and they were like, nah, that's forever. Hee-haw. Is that what it was?
What you should do...
The doctor's now mocking me.
What you should do is you should go see the great ass-headed clown, Pagliacci, and he will make you feel better about that. No.
That'll solve it. Sorry, the other week on Gamer Game, Naomi said Palagaki, and I can't.
Oh,
remember.
No.
It might not have been Palagaki. Now, whenever I hear it's said correctly, it's even funnier to me.
Palagaki, that's pretty good.
Palagaki.
I don't remember that on the episode. Did she demand it edited out?
Maybe it did get edited out.
Maybe it's for the
Palagaki.
Twitch.
Palagaki. Maybe it was for the Twitch.
Yeah.
Palagaki.
So, that's the end of the play. What do we think? The curtain has fallen.
Yeah. I loved it.
Would you give, you're giving your applause to Puck
I'm
if you had a good time?
I'm rolling my Maltesers down the aisle.
You slush?
Encore!
Right into people. Just chuck it.
Encore, do the play again
it
in
again.
Its entirety.
I have nothing on.
My life's empty.
I want to
just going
see...
out into the cold streets and I go home and I'm sad.
Everyone,
do the play again.
I want to see the love.
Yeah, it's raining outside. I'm staying.
Yeah, that's right.
It was. I thought it was fine.
I've got a bomb. Do the play again.
Oh my God.
I blow this place up.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm not. I don't think that's my character anymore. Are you still being me?
Yeah, that's
that
you.
You're
that's you.
On?
That's you, a bad man with a bomb.
And if anyone's offended, it's all a dream.
It's all a dream.
Sorry, everybody.
This is a bomb dream.
Yeah, that's right.
Bomb dream. I think, look, it's, as far as Shakespeare plays go, it was pretty, I don't know, there wasn't, it felt like it needed something else.
Bit of murder.
Yeah, like a murder. I missed a murder.
Sorry, I'll get you on for a tragedy.
I think I would prefer no murder. So I think I enjoyed this.
Ah.
Yeah. But I didn't. I feel like the only thing that doesn't quite sit well with me is that Helena, her husband, doesn't really love her because he's still magicked, right?
Yes, but he'll be magicked forever.
Yeah, he's magic for all. Well, like, I guess that's fine then.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a bad dude.
I guess that's true.
So it might have
so
actually
sucked in
improved
idiot.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah. I also I don't know. I think the play within a play, don't get me wrong, I love it. But also, that's a lot of characters that are just faffing about for a joke at the end that's like, yeah, that was a comedy all along. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's fine. There's just a lot of characters.
There's a lot of characters in this one, absolutely.
There's a lot of characters, and I wish it was a bit simpler.
But, Dave, I think you handled it very well. I was mostly confused. Did you follow it?
Because I did.
Yeah. I probably, at the time when I watched it originally, I probably didn't follow it at all.
No.
Like, what the hell is that?
No.
Why is that man got a donkey's head now?
Yeah,
everyone's asleep over and over again.
Did Shakespeare ever do sequels? Did he bring back anybody? Was it all original?
Oh, it's in Henry the Fourth, Part One and Two.
That's true.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
was it Love Labour's One?
One of his characters.
Does Doctor Who Shakespeare count as real?
Yeah,
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. Cool. It's based on real stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
One of his characters, John Falstaff, who's like this real drunken guy. He was brought back in another play.
He's like the Nick Fury.
Yeah, so like
he's coming in and he's like,
this guy's a bit of fun.
Hey, Romeo and Juliet, you want to join the Avengers? Oh, you're dead. You're both dead.
Damn. You're going to be super in love.
Hey, Macbeth, do you want to? You're dead. Hey, Macbeth,
Hamlet?
You're dead.
Did Hamlet?
I think Hamlet's still alive. I mean, not now. He's dead.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Othello, you're dead.
I'm afraid they're all dead.
Yeah.
Hey, much ado about nothing, people are... Oh, no, they're still there.
Yeah.
Taming of the shrews.
Yeah, that's right. We need some shrews tamed. Get on the team. Get on the helicarrier. We're going to tame some shrews. There's no time to waste. Thanos has got a bunch of shrews. They've gone nuts.
They're all just coming out of like an interdimensional portal.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to close the portal. If anything, the only thing Shakespeare is missing is just people going, we've got to close the portal. We're going to get the fairies are coming out the portal. Because we've got a staff to close the portal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sad that isn't happening.
Yeah.
Sorry it didn't happen.
That's okay.
It's all right. I can imagine it in my own human brain. I've done it so well. You don't even know.
In a way, everything's Shakespeare. Don't know why I said that.
Hey, I like
don't have sounds, a, no, there's no follow-up.
Sounds deep, though, doesn't it?
In a way, isn't
everything Shakespeare?
Yeah. I mean, everything has... Most people who are in film and TV have read a Shakespeare play, so it probably has inspired something.
And in a way, he was the original rapper, so that's everything. We've covered everything, I think.
All mediums.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is this the kind of play that you'd like to see? You'd like to see this one live?
I mean, Frozen's out at the moment. That seems pretty good. I like Frozen. It's a good story. It's about, like, female friendship, sisterhood. This one's more about, like, I don't know. These ones especially where it's just like, I marry this person. I don't like those stories that much. Much Ado About Nothing, I feel like I like a bit more, but I don't know why. It might just be the movie with... Is Emma Thompson in it? I don't know.
It's probably Emma Thompson, yeah.
Or is that telling me the truth? Anyway, there's a good version of that. I don't know. I don't love that the fairies were just like faffing about in the background.
Too much faffing.
Well, I just wish they were more part of the story early on. They were introduced later in the piece.
What if Puck were played by a young Jack Black? Or a Jack Black of his current age.
Oh, I would
he's
like
all zibbidabow, you know?
I would actually
doing a prank.
A Tenacious D version of Shakespeare.
That would be good.
They should do that like the Muppets did, like
that's right.
Dickens, but it's Tenacious D Shakespeare.
I feel like
that's a great
idea. Jack Black could also be a good Bottom, and then Kyle Gass could be one of the other members in the Mechanicals.
Agree, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Or they could all be played by Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson can do anything.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. But yeah, I think it was okay, but I don't like these sort of plays. I don't think that's on the play. I just don't love like, there's a big triangle.
Yeah, sure. You don't like this sort of farcical. Oh, it's a bit silly, but we know
it'll end up fine. Yep. And also like, there's a bad dude who's now getting married to a woman who he bullied. I don't know. There's things like, it's a bit problematic.
That's right. Shakespeare is cancelled.
Shakespeare's cancelled, everyone. I'm done. No, but I feel like it's more. I don't love that.
Shakespeare's going to go on the right wing stand up circuit now. He's going, I know where my audience is.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever had your wife try to take an Indian prince off you? You know how it is, fellas. That's him.
Just a man going up on stage and just doing the entirety of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
That would be
these lefties aren't going to enjoy this. Oh, lefties wouldn't like this, would they?
Yay.
Anyway, we open on Greece or something. Here we go.
I'll
be playing every character.
That would be amazing. I would watch that. Okay, now I'm back around.
You're
again.
Back in.
I yeah. love it again.
Mate, so how are you feeling about it?
I liked it. I'd probably be jazzed to see another. Look, I was going to say I'd be jazzed to see another like rendition of this in the park, but honestly, I'd be jazzed to see a rendition of anything in the park.
Yep.
Just being in a park just, with some friends, by myself, anything really.
What a great location.
A sausage
park.
Sizzle in the park.
Yeah.
What a sausage sizzle. How about a Midsummer Night's sausage sizzle?
Oh, imagine sausage sizzle in a show.
Yeah.
Why aren't they doing that? Why aren't they doing that?
It's like a meal deal, sausage sizzle in a show.
Yeah. It's just the guy like doing the, like just a dad.
Turning the snags, yeah.
Yeah, he turns the snags over and he's like, forsooth.
He's just side of stage. The play's happening, but there's a guy just turning snags side of stage and everybody's like, just, they're half-heartedly watching the play and then they're just, every 30 seconds they're turning to the guy, the snags already here, snags. And
yeah, the
snags
the smell of the onions is wafting through the crowd. Yeah. They're like, I cannot concentrate on anything.
I would love if I had a show and then also they were like unlimited sausages. Because sometimes you have one sausage at a sausage sizzle, you're like, I could do another one, but then I have to pay another dollar. You know?
Yeah, okay. So you'd rather money down at the start.
Money
you pay
down
more
at the start. I
pay more
like
for more later.
$50, I get a show. $50.
I was like, you don't want to pay a dollar for another sausage? You're putting 50 down?
But constant sausages. I mean, no limits, all onions.
You're going to need more than 50 sausages.
And cans. I feel like
even.
I can get a can of something as well.
Let me tell you this, sausage sizzle. I got a sausage sizzle. Four sausages straight up, straight away, four sausages.
How do you hold them?
If I don't eat all four, chuck them on the ground. Just chuck them on the ground.
In protest?
Piff them on the ground in front of everybody in the line. Just piff it on the ground. I'm like, I only wanted three. I'm chucking this one on the ground.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's your power move right there.
Well, everyone else is hungrily waiting in the line.
Right. Yeah, I feel like actually. Yeah.
I donkey voted. What do you think about that? That's where we are. We're voting. We're voting in this situation.
I know I said earlier that I wasn't a decent person, but I'm starting to think maybe I'm not the only one. I think it would be, now that you've said just get four sausages straight up, I think I'm going to change my ways. Maybe I don't need a sausage sizzle in a show. Maybe I just need to have the confidence to have two sausages.
Maybe you just need to have dinner before the show.
Nah, sausages.
There's no room for sausages, Dave.
Yeah, where's the sausages coming? Sorry, what were you actually talking about the play?
Oh, what we do, we always score it out of five before we go. And I'm feeling like Meso, I'm not putting numbers in people's minds here, but Meso feels to be going higher than maybe back on the scale. But
I reckon I'd go 4 out of 5, yeah.
Four out of five.
I like the magic. I like the fact nobody was murdered. I like the running about. I imagine Puck, he's sort of a rotund gentleman and he's sort of floating about. Ooh. He's zipping around. He's not using his feet. He's just bloop, you know, like
on
that.
Some sort of cable.
Yeah, maybe he's on a cable. Yeah.
Or magic.
Yeah, or he's magic. Sorry, yes, this is the two options.
There's a cable or magic.
Magic cable. Sorry, third option.
Yes. Do you want me?
Yes, Beck, what do you think?
I think 3 out of 5. Three. I still think it's good.
Oh, okay,
great. But I just think, I don't know. I just would love, I just think there's different ways to, let's fix this. Let's workshop Shakespeare.
Let's fix Shakespeare.
Let's fix Shakespeare.
Finally.
It's time to do it.
Yeah.
No, I just feel like there's other things you watch. Riverdale, Teen Wolf.
I reckon the two lovers should have gone to the forest and the guy who wants to follow them, like he should be like, I'm gonna follow them in and I'm gonna get the woman I want. And I think somebody should be like, don't do that. And he should be like, oh yeah, I actually never thought about it like that. I won't anymore.
Great. End of play.
And I think there should be, you know, the Oberon should be like, I'm gonna trick my wife into loving a rando, and it's gonna be embarrassing for her. And then that same guy from earlier, the scold, should be like, I actually don't think you should do that if you love your wife. And he should be like, oh yeah, I thought about it, and I don't think I should do that.
As you've explained this, I've just realized that my version of a play, quite dull. It's just people going like, I'm going to do something that will cause conflict. Nah, don't do that. All right, never mind. I'll sit down then.
But we've fixed it, Beck. We've fixed it to your specifications, all right? It's what you want.
It quite dull.
This is the future you want,
yep,
Beck.
The future I want is just nothing happens and we all have a nice time. Maybe get a sausage.
Great. I mean, that sounds like easy watching.
Yeah.
There's no stress. You know it's going to be fine.
And then somebody on stage is like, and now for the sausages, and everybody He's like, yes!
Yes!
We all get sausage. And they roll it out. The stage separates. It's two pieces of stage. And, and then a guy in a hot dog cart, he comes in. He's like, we did it.
What if the stage was all barbecue underneath? So then the stage separates as all big barbecue.
The whole time you've been, why is this stage like smoking under
there? Why are all the actors sweating so much? Why are they hopping from foot to foot?
I'm also going to give it a 4 out of 5. Yeah, okay. It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
It is fun. Just a bit of fun. I'm just like, nah. I think it's fine.
And like it is a good one, I would say, in a park setting, an outdoor.
Yeah.
Summer, good time, good time for the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Relax. You don't have to concentrate too hard. I feel like you can definitely get the gist of it even if you're not that up with the Shakespearean language.
Yeah.
And then it all just works out at the end, and obviously you get like a bit of magic, and you get a man with the head of an ass.
And if you see it at the park and the weather turns, it gets a bit wet, the actors on stage, they'll be like, oh, but the fairies are having a bit of a fun, aren't they? Yeah. And we all laugh. We all, because it's raining, and we're like, yeah, no, that's good improv right there.
Oh, Shakespearean audiences, they love that little bit of improv.
But not too much, my version. Like, boo! Whoa. Too much.
Exactly. Stick to the script.
Just straight too far. Boo.
If someone came out juggling sausages, you know I'd be there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm like, I know that's not in the original, but if you juggle one of those straight into my gob. Poo. Not very COVID safe, but I'm up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just say, it's been an absolute pleasure having the Midsummer Night's Dream Team together.
There we are.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining me.
Ooh, I just hit my hand. I kicked my knee earlier.
We celebrate too hard here.
Yeah.
Anyway, this will be Beck's last appearance on Book Cheat because she's getting a flesh-eating disease through her knee and arm.
Yes, that's it for me. But I had a lovely time.
You had a great time. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Beck. And I've been absolutely loving, can I just say, your new series on the YouTubes, Media Breakdown.
Thank you very much.
Very funny. Lots of so it's yourself hosting the show, and lots of people that I've had on Book Cheat before.
Have
you make it? Yes, popping in and out.
Yeah. So on the show, it's like it's an entertainment show, which I don't love saying, but it is. You learn a little bit as you laugh.
Is that what Book Cheat is? Probably.
I think there's room for both. Yeah. I think if there's an audience for Media Breakdown, it's also the Book Cheat audience.
Actually, this is a blooming
great crossover.
So what are
some of the topics that you've covered and broken down for us so far?
Copyright. I've done copyright. A few people have said to me, oh no, now I need to check some things after they watched it. So I don't know if you want that.
Like my privilege, for example.
Yes. That's
is your privilege being copyrighted?
Yeah, it has actually. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's owned by Universal Music Group now, so I can't use it anymore. That. Yeah.
So copyright. I did opinion journalism. The latest one is about misleading news, which is fake news, but I have not used those words, and I explain why.
They're very loaded words.
So I explain why I don't use that. The next one I really like next week is science reporting, which I'm very excited for. But people who have appeared, Kate Dennett, bloody Annie Louie, Jack Druce.
Yes.
Next week, Mish Whitrip, Michelle Brazier will come, and then Lena Moon.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's all good comedy people. It's a bit of goofing. There's goofing in it. You'll enjoy the goofing. I reckon it's like 40% goofing, 60% information. You're like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, learning. Learn.
But it's only 12 minutes of your time.
I think you should have called it Goof Troop because of all the goofing.
Oh, my God, that would have been great.
Yeah, right.
I don't think anyone's come up with that either.
Then that's great. I should have
renamed myself Max.
Yeah, nice.
Because I'm maximum education.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
Okay, do some tweaks.
I'll tweak before next week. But I think it's a fun show to watch. And I really like the last one that came out with Jack Druce. I think it's very silly.
You should call it Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun because of how much fun it is.
Mm.
And I'm a fun auntie.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So, look at me.
That's right.
Look at the vibes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. Cool. All right. These are all good suggestions.
Thank you.
I'll enact them for next week. You can watch Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Goof Troop on YouTube.
And so you can check that out, that show, or as it used to be called, Media Breakdown, on the Stupid Old Channel on YouTube.
Yep. And on Channel 31 at 8:30 if you're in Melbourne. Also, if you aren't in Australia, some of the things might not be applicable to your country, but don't worry about it. You can still laugh.
That's right.
Well, laughs are applicable to your
laughs
country.
Laughs are universal, aren't they?
Yeah. Copyright laws, not so much. But laughs, they work around the world. I think. Yeah. I hope. I hope. I hope the laughs aren't geo-blocked. Check for me. Let me know.
Let us know. And Nick Mason.
Hello. I've got a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk about nerd stuff. I mean, you know, none of this highbrow stuff.
No, but you talk about the comic books that you read.
That's that is true. I have read a thing or two in my time, let me tell you. Yeah, that's right. There's a Puck in Marvel Comics.
He works for
Alpha Flight, which is like the Canadian Avengers.
Ah.
He's a little man.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
Love that. So both Marvel and DC have a reference.
I think so, yeah.
To this play.
Yeah, that's right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I tell you, he's influential, this guy.
That's Shakespeare. Right.
People write him off. I don't know why.
I never heard of him.
I wrote him off and I regret it now. I've done it publicly multiple times and I look like quite the fool right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? When are you reviewing Shakespeare on the Weekly Planet?
Yeah, we're doing it. We're shifting around. We're just going to review Shakespeare plays, yeah.
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 When that comes out.
We're like, this Spider-Man's not in this. Zero stars.
Zero stars. And you get like a little lanyard. When you go to the screening of Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever come across
a bust of Shakespeare? It's around your neck.
That's cool.
Very happy.
Yeah.
Have you ever come across a Shakespeare, like a character in one of the comic universes?
Have you guys seen Thor Ragnarok? There's a play within a movie in Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, no, I haven't seen.
Okay, it's the tale of Thor and Loki, but on stage.
For some reason, I was about to pretend I didn't know what Thor Ragnarok is, and then I was like, no, people listening to this might go like, what? Watch Thor Ragnarok. It's a great movie.
That's the only, if you'd said that, that's the only feedback you would have gotten from this episode.
Why
haven't you watched Thor Ragnarok? It's a good one.
Why doesn't Beck know what Thor is?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Will I get that feedback?
No, that's fine. It's okay not to see it. I was going to completely pretend I didn't know what Thor was, what Ragnarok was, that Sam Neill
just
was
like
in the play within a play.
Yeah,
I was
going to
pretend I didn't know.
Just like you pretended you didn't know what Midsummer Night's Dream was, but you knew the whole time.
I knew the whole time.
Sweet reveal at the end here.
I know plays. Look at me. I love Shakespeare.
Yay! I'm ticking them off, but if you want to let me know what Shakespeare play I should cover next, I might do another one before the year is out. You can click the link in the description of this episode. You can suggest any book, play, opera these days. And I'll give you a shout out when I get to it. You can get in contact with me at BookCheatPod on all the social medias or BookCheatPod@gmail.com.
Or you can get on to me at Beckness and I'll just tap Warnicky on the shoulder and I'll go... Hey, I got a message for you.
And I'm like, oh no, this sounds bad.
Yep.
So, hell yeah. I'll be back, I must say, in a couple of weeks with another episode. But until then, as I always say here, I will say thank you for listening and
books forever!
Yeah! Now back to the drum band. Boom, boom,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.